my chance to say Happy New Year to everybody. And I know we say this every time, but I really believe it. This is going to be the best year yet. And we need to go into the new year with that in our minds. This is going to be in our hearts. And that's the faith that we have in God, that this is going to be the best year yet. Things are going to get resolved. People are going to be added. And this is going to be a great year for God. And we're going to join him in that. So the first part of our sanctification, the first week, we've entitled Loving God. And Pastor Nev asked me and said, would I do the opening session? I thought, I could speak for hours on this. This is great. And then a quick little email said, try and be 20 minutes. And I thought, if you can cover loving God in 20 minutes, it will be just a brief introduction. But I do believe God's given me something specific to say. And just as an introduction, I want to say that so many of us get confused about what love is. And, love is not a feeling. We're not talking about feelings here. We're talking about action. Love is an act of the will. And people have said to me in the past, well, I don't love my wife anymore or something like that. And I said, well, when did you stop loving her? He said, no, you don't understand. I thought, I do understand. And, we can stop loving God. We can stop doing the stuff that God loves. And so I want to look at some things that God really loves just to encourage us today. We love God. It says in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love. We are able to love because he has first loved us. And it's a kind of basis, it's a foundation for the fact that we're able to love God is because he has first loved us. And we'll be able to love the world and love each other because God has first loved us. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that it says in Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If there ever was a motivation for a devotional, this is it. That while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. And sometimes, and I say this humbly, sometimes I have to say, God, please keep me aware of my sinful state. Keep me aware of where I've come from. Keep me aware of what I am now before you. And I need to do that because then I realize how much he's forgiven me. Because he who's been forgiven a lot loves a lot. And we need to understand that. We need to have sometimes those experiences like Isaiah had when he said, woe is me. And this was the prophet of the nation of Israel. And he says, woe is me. Because I'm a person of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. He was able to be part of his community and acknowledge the sin of his community and the sin of his culture. And I think sometimes we, as Christians, separate ourselves from the community and think, well, we're okay. I'm all right, God. It's them. And yet, Isaiah, and we see in Ezra too, and I want to read, I won't read it out, but Ezra too, he gets this amazing prayer because the community has sinned. And I don't know if Ezra did. He didn't do those things, but he was accountable to God for what his nation was doing. And he became the sin of his nation so that he could change his nation. And sometimes I think we have to be accountable to God for what our culture is. We're all responsible for our culture. We can't just blame the bad people and say it's their fault. If it was us running it, it'd be much different. We are part of that culture. And the culture that's come up, we have brought that culture in. For me, who is a little bit older, there's a generation below me. And I'm responsible for the culture of that generation. I can't just say, well, I'm okay, but they're not. I need to be responsible for that. And before God, I need to say, God, I'm sorry for the sins of my culture, for the place I live in. I need to acknowledge that. And I think when we begin to acknowledge that, God will give us the spirit of God to be able to change that. But we need to get in there and do that. So we've been forgiven a lot, and our culture and our country has been forgiven a lot, and I'm part of that. And as such, I love God a lot, and I want to love him even more. The more we know about God, the more we will love him. And this is probably my greatest motivation to have devotionals. And a lot of probably what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks will encourage you, I believe, in your devotions. I think these are so important. This is our relationship with God. And it comes out of a real heart in me that wants to know God better. And if we know him better, we'll love him more. Because he's just love. And the more we get to him. So this book here, it tells me all about God. And sometimes it's not that I'm so looking forward to read. I'm not like Nikki Gumbel, who just loves every day to read the Bible. Sometimes I plow through it. Sometimes it just bounces out at me, and it's fantastic. But all the time, I have a faith in God that as I read it, he's showing me more of himself, even though I don't maybe can't pinpoint it at the time. And I think it's so important that we just read this thing. This is the only thing we've got that's reliable. We have prophecies, we have all sorts of words and stuff like that, but this is totally reliable. And all the prophecies should match up with this anyway. And every word should match up with this. It should. This is our base. This is our foundation. So I'm motivated to have devotionals to God and read his word because I want to know him better. And if I know him better, I know I will love him more. See, that's action. That's not me feeling, oh, I can't wait, Lord, just to read your word. I'm going to read your word, Lord, because I know it's about you. And sometimes I don't want to, but I'm going to do it. And that's not a legalistic thing. That's, Lord, I really want to know you. And sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it isn't. We have a lodger in our house, as many of you will know. And recently we've noticed she's been spending a little bit of time Skyping across to Canada. And talk about devotional. Sometimes she has a three-hour devotional. And I'm shocked. I think, what can they talk about in all that time? But this couple are getting to know each other. And it's really important. And the more they get to know each other, guess what? The more they love each other. And it's the same with us and God. And I'm not suggesting for a minute I've ever had a three-hour devotional. I'm not trying to say that. But it's a constant life thing. I want to be in touch with God all the time so that I get to know him. I want to do something which is perhaps slightly odd. A passage I felt God showed me to speak on today, and it's I've got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to do this quite quickly. And it's an odd passage to talk about, but what I want to do is, I don't know if this is a saying, I've written it down, reverse theology. I'm going to read about six things that the Lord hates, and I know if we look on the other side of those things, we find what he loves. So I want to give you the seven here, but two are the same. I want to give you six things that God loves that we need to embrace in our own lives because we want to love him, okay? So this is in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, and it says, Solomon says here, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. And so I just want to very quickly take those six things. Let's do the reverse and see what God loves, okay? So number one, it says that haughty eyes, that's pride, okay? And in other places in Scripture, God hates pride. So what does he love? He loves humility. And I think humility is probably one of the greatest weapons we will ever embrace against the enemy. The enemy hates humility. He loves us to be puffed up. He loves us to have our own account of ourselves. It's higher than it should be. He loves us to think that we know best. We'll never go far like that. If everyone in this church knew the best way to do things, we'd never do anything because we'd all do our own thing. And, you know, humble yourself, God says. In a passage in Chronicles, he talks about a revival coming, but the first thing he says is humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. You know, don't think of yourself greater than you are, and certainly don't look down on other people. We need to respect each other. And God loves that. God loves it when we humble ourselves and respect each other. And we say, you know, some people say, well, it's easy to humble yourself before God. Well, that kind of doesn't mean anything unless it works out. It's okay to come to God and say, yes, I'll do everything you want, but he's asked us to do things that we don't want to do, but we want to humble ourselves before God. Humble ourselves before God is about humbling ourselves before one another. Same thing, I tell you, it is. And we need to be humble towards one another. And humility is not just an attitude. It has to have action to it. If I just said, yeah, I'm humble to you, and I never did anything about it, I think that's a kind of humility without action. That's withdrawal. That's just backing off because I don't want to face something. Humility has to have action. If I humble myself before my pastor, I'll do what he asks me to do. when he asks me to do something, I'll do it. I won't say, oh, well, yeah, I'm just going to, I probably won't do that. That's not humility. That's me doing my thing. And so when God asks us to do things through his word, we have to do it. Love is action. It's actually doing things. And humility is so important. We humble ourselves before God, we'll obey God. We humble ourselves before Scripture, we'll do what it says. That's what humbling means. We have to do something about it. The next one is a lying tongue. And further down, this is the one that I feel is the same thing, a lying tongue, and then further down it says a false witness who pours out lies. Lies is lies. No, I haven't got any slides today. I'm sorry, I was doing a 20-minute talk, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to do slides. But I'm very happy to give you my notes afterwards, okay? Okay, you're welcome. So a lying tongue. So God loves truth. He just loves truth. Do you know one of the things that sets us free is knowing truth? When we learn the truth about ourselves and what God thinks of us, we begin to see freedom in our lives. And God just loves truth. You know, so often we bend it a little bit. We exaggerate a little bit. Exaggeration is lies. Okay? We need to be those people who speak truth to each other. And so often, even then, you know, we can bend it a little bit to try and make somebody feel a bit better. Don't do it. Speak truth. Speak truth. Let's speak truth. When we give an account maybe of something that's happened, we tend to make it sound maybe a little bit better than it was. Let us not do that. Let's be truthful and honest, because God loves truth. He loves truth in the inward parts. Let's be truthful to ourselves. Let's be truthful before each other. And you know, the word that comes to mind is integrity. God loves integrity. I want to be a person who, what you see is what you get. Who I am is what I am here, is what I am at home, is what I am when I'm on my own, and what I am when I'm at work. It's all the same me. And I think that is so important. We need to have integrity, folks. One of the reasons that is such a witness to the world. One of the things the world hates about the church is that it says one thing and does another. And I was talking with James last night, and we're talking about some interesting things of past kind of religions that have come out of Christianity and gone into legalism. And then they hide things to make it still look good because they're trying to keep rules, but they're not doing it. And there's no integrity in that. And as the church of God, I want us to have integrity. I want us to have integrity in the world, integrity in the workplace, integrity in our marriages, in our families, wherever we are. Let's be what we are. And if we've got problems, let's say I've got problems. That's okay. We can sort them out then. But let's have integrity, truth. God loves people of integrity. He loves truth in the inward parts of our being. It says God hates hands that shed innocent blood. You know, he loves those that bring healing. And let's bring healing to each other's relationships. Jesus said that those who think evil thoughts about another are as guilty as murderers. So you may not have shed innocent blood, but what goes on in our thought life? Let's see each other how God sees them. I'm on a mission in my own life to have a faith in my heart and in my mind that sees people as God sees them. And I always love the Gideon thing. Mighty warrior Gideon, eh? And he was there hiding, threshing grain. But what God saw was a mighty warrior. And what God saw was the truth. Came out later. And we need to see the truth about each other. We need to big up each other with how God sees each other. Not all this knocking down, not knocking each other for what we haven't done, but actually encouraging what we have done. And God, that's a God thing. That's a way of loving God, is to encourage each other. And, you know, not hype, not stuff that isn't true, but stuff that's true. You know, sometimes I'm challenged to write Christmas cards sometimes, and I want to put something in there that's good. And, you know, sometimes I write to people and I think, And it's so easy just to write, oh, you're an amazing person, but that doesn't actually mean anything. And God always gives me something that is true, that is amazing about that person that I can write, just something really personal. And I love that, and I try and do it on birthday cards too, something that is really true and will really encourage. See, if it's not true, it probably won't encourage. So let's be true, let's be honest, and let's encourage each other. Let's be those that are quick to encourage rather than quick to rush to evil. God hates a man who stirs up dissension. This is the last one. He loves those who build together. He loves it when we build something together. When we put away our own agendas that are sometimes just our own and nobody else's. He loves it when we do that and we build together. This year, I sincerely believe that God wants to do something he's never done before. Some church has to break out with a togetherness and a unity that God pours his blessing on. It has to happen somewhere. And I believe, just like every other church, God gives us another opportunity. It's a new day. Tamrat, it's a new day, isn't it? It's a new day. Today is, and it's not just a new year, it's a new day. And God wants to do something, and he's wanted to do it for a long time. He wants to break into that society and that culture out there because it's fallen and it's broken and it's wounded and it's hurting. And he wants a band of people to get together who say, right, I'm going to stand together, whatever it takes, and we're going to do this. Why? Because that's loving God. That's what he asks us to do. He asks us to put aside our differences and actually go forward together. And that takes unity. And you know what God says about unity. Where he sees unity, he just commands blessing. And I'm not sure I've seen that in England in any churches yet. I haven't been to that many. But I think we'd hear about it. We really would. And I've heard pockets at times of things that are amazing where God is blessing. But God wants to do something more than that. And he wants to invade this culture. He wants to invade this town and this country with his love. But it's going to take a people who put aside their differences and actually walk forward together. We've been, I don't know if it's me or my family. Illness has really been a tough thing over the last few weeks. I don't know if it's all over the place. But sometimes I see that as a sign, and maybe this is reverse theology, that God is about to do something because the enemy is trying to knock it out before it even happens. And we're going to stand together. We're going to pray together, and we're going to be together. And if you want to be part of that, I'll tell you one way that will really help you in that. And I'm going to ask you to attend as many evenings of sanctification as you can. That's what it's for. I believe at the end of this, God will have prepared us to take on 2017. Now, that doesn't mean to say if you can't make it or you're not going to be prepared. It's about our heart. It's about what we do, but it's about our heart too. And there are going to be notes and stuff. But this isn't a formality. This isn't something we just want to do. Oh, at the beginning of the year, we better do a fortnight, not a week sanctification. Let's do a fortnight. That'll be even better. It's, you know, we believe we've heard from God. We believe this is a God thing. This is a God initiative. And we want you to enjoy it and be a part of it and be excited together and we'll work together. And we can either look at it as a series of meetings or we can go on a journey together, at the end of which we'll be more fit and ready and able to do what God wants us to do for this year. And so that's why I believe this is really important. This is a series of, we could call them meetings. If you look at them as meetings, you will probably just turn up for brownie points or just maybe your own brownie points, see how many you can make. But let's look at it as a journey together. We're going to learn how to love God. We've got three or four speakers going to speak this week on different aspects of loving God. And that surely is the crux of what we want to be. Because if we love God, we'll be able to love that world out there. And then next week, we're going to talk about loving the world and how we can effectively be a part of that move of God that changes society and changes culture. So our prayers of God, as Isaiah prayed, Lord, woe is me. But then a coal came and touched his lips. And the grace of God is on us, folks. The grace of God is here. And the Spirit of God is in us. And we have everything we need to fulfill what God wants us to do. And it's not a question, I don't think, of God waiting for a time when he's going to do something. I think he's waiting for a people to love him, and he'll do it through us. So I want to encourage you. Let's love God. Let's be truthful. Let's be honest. Let's be humble. Let's be those that rush to encourage. And let's not stir up dissension. Let's be united together for what God wants us to do. And I believe if a church does that, there will be phenomenal blessing for the world out there and on us as a church. And God's blessing will be on us. So it's kind of up to us. It's a challenge. And my prayer is that God will help us to take up that challenge. It's going to be different. We cannot do the same thing as we've always done. If we're going to fill the back of that church by the end of next year, we can't do it the same way because it hasn't happened. God's asking us to do it. He's not just waiting for us. We sat down and watched a film last night. Many of you will have seen it. It's, what's it called? I've forgotten it. Sorry? Evan Almighty. Very funny film about Noah, or sort of a modern day Noah. But at one point, and it's so profound, and I think this, I've forgotten the black guy's name, he's a great God. He's great at being God. But he says this, he says to the kind of wife and the family who've left the husband who's gone a bit strange and looks like Noah and is building an ark in the middle of his garden. They kind of thought he's really gone crazy. And on their journey, God comes alongside them and says, do you know what, if somebody asked for patience, do you think I'd give them patience or I'd give them an opportunity to be patient? And, you know, we ask God to do stuff and change this world. Do you think he's going to change the world, or he's going to give us an opportunity with his spirit to change this world? That's our challenge, and I believe that's what he wants from us, and I believe we can do it.